Well, good morning, everyone. And this is the sermon that I'm going to be preaching this morning at church. And in the Sundays in August and September, I'm going to be preaching about the parables of Jesus. And we started last week by looking at the parable of the rich fool. And we're going to continue today by looking at the parable of the fig tree in the vineyard. The word parable means to put two things alongside each other. So we've got lots of para words in the English language. There's a para church organisation which works alongside the church for the glory of God. So we might think of something like Tear Fund or a mission society. And then we might talk about parallel lines in maths or the shape, a parallelogram. And then there's the parallel parking that we might need to be able to do, or we do need to be able to do in order to pass our driving test. So what Jesus is putting alongside each other in this parable is the picture of an unfruitful fig tree, which he lies alongside the reality of the unfruitful people that he's talking to. And ultimately what he's saying in this parable in Luke chapter 13 is, watch out that you do not meet the fate of an unfruitful fig tree in being chopped down by its master. So there are three things I'd like to focus on in this sermon today from this passage. And the first one is reflection. The second is repentance. And the third is righteousness. So let's think about reflection. What do I mean by reflection? Well, the four verses of this parable in Luke chapter 13 that come in verses 6 to 9 come after five verses where Jesus and those he's with are talking about two recent incidents where God has been viewed as taking retribution against people. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 13, now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And in response to this, Jesus has a very simple question for them. He says, do you think that because they suffered in this way, that they were somehow worse sinners than all the other Galileans? And then Jesus brings up another situation that has arisen recently when he says, do you think the 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them were any more guilty than all the other people living in Jerusalem? And on both of these occasions, Jesus says, no. They were no more guilty than anyone else. And what was the common assumption at the time is that sin must precede a disaster or an illness in someone's life. If we look at another situation from the Gospels, going to John chapter 9 and the first three verses, we find this. It says, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. So first, we see in John chapter 9 and Luke 13 that suffering is not necessarily connected to sin of that person or of their parents or anyone else connected to them. Because when you think about it, Jesus himself suffered, not only when he was on the cross suffering for our sins, but in the way that he faced rejection and betrayal throughout his life. But Jesus, we know, was totally without sin. And in the Beatitudes from Matthew chapter 5, Jesus actually connects suffering with righteousness. Suffering because of righteousness' sake, suffering on account of simply knowing him. And sometimes we talk about the wrong things. We ask the wrong questions, and instead we need to reflect. The message of the Tower of Siloam, Jesus shows, is not what type of sin or what amount of sin someone needs to enact in order for a tower to fall on them, but the question, or the right way of thinking about this, is actually what Jesus points out, that everyone is going to come to their end at some point. And so the thing that you need to take from these examples is to repent. So let's look at what repentance means. We've looked at reflection, and Often we try to deflect things from ourselves by talking about the sins or the situations of other people, but Jesus calls us to reflect and to think about our own situation before God. And then as we think about that situation, we come to repent. So in this parable, a man looks for fruit on his fig tree and he finds none. And he does this 3 years in a row, and then he gets fed up of it because the tree is unfruitful. And he says that, you know, this tree is a waste of soil. Mr. Gardener, please cut it down. But the gardener then says to the man, "Sir, wait. Allow me to dig around the tree. Allow me to fertilize it. Then come back in one more year. And if there's fruit there, then great. If there's no fruit, then by all means, cut it down." And so the tree is given another chance. And to repent simply means to have a change of mind. And in the Christian context, we're talking about turning from the things that are not of God to the things that are of God. And that when we make that change, we receive forgiveness from God for going against his ways. And this parable of Jesus is that call to repent. He's showing us in this parable that time is short. This tree only has another year. And actually, none of us know in our lives how long we've got in order to make this change of mind to turn towards Jesus. Perhaps in this parable, we could view Jesus as being the gardener who digs around the tree, who fertilizes it, just as the Messiah, Jesus, came to a people who were not being fruitful, and he teaches them about God's ways. He pulls them to come back towards the kingdom of God, to repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. And this could be viewed, the coming of the Messiah, as a final act from God, because we know that in Jesus the nature of God is fully revealed. And his plan for salvation is shown in its fullness through the cross. It's God's final act of salvation towards the world. Thankfully, we also have the ministry of the church, which has the call to take that message of Jesus that's been given to us and continue to share with that message with people throughout these ages that we're in at the moment. So there's repentance, turning our minds towards God, that we see in this passage. And so the third thing is righteousness. I thought it would actually be good at this time to now turn towards Luke chapter 3, so 10 chapters before the reading that we have for today. Because I think that these two passages, Luke 3 and Luke 13, actually back each other up rather well. What we see in Luke chapter 3 is a message from John the Baptist, and he tells us exactly what repentance looks like. So that if we're wanting to respond to Jesus, John helps us to fill in what it means to repent. So in Luke chapter 3, he says to the people that are coming to him for baptism, it says, "When the crowd came to John for baptism," this is verses 7 to 9 of chapter 3, he said, "You brood of snakes, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, 'We're safe because we are descendants of Abraham.' That means nothing. For I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. Even now, the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever the roots of the trees. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire." So in Luke chapter 3, John the Baptist is painting a very similar picture to the one that Jesus paints in Luke chapter 13 when he talks about the fig tree being cut down because of its lack of fruit. So ultimately the consequence of no fruit is the same. And remember, when we looked at the book of James recently, we saw that faith without works, according to James, is dead. And equally we can say this morning that repentance without fruit is meaningless. It's like when you might say to a child, "Don't just say sorry, the words mean nothing. Prove it by living differently. Prove that you're sorry by not doing that thing again." John the Baptist shows that righteousness looks like the things that he points out in verses 10 to 14 of chapter 3. When the crowds asked him, what should we do? John replied, if you have two shirts, give one to the poor. If you have food, share it with those who are hungry. Even corrupt tax collectors came to be baptized and asked, teacher, what should we do? He replied, collect no more taxes than the government requires. What should we do? Asked some soldiers. John replied, don't extort money or make false accusations and be content with your pay. So John is saying to the people, be generous with your clothes, with your food, when people are in need. He says to the tax collectors, don't take any more than what the government wants. In other words, don't steal by taking a little bit extra for yourself. And he's saying to the soldiers, don't abuse your position of power by making false accusations about people in order to extort money from them. In all of these things, we're to put ourselves second and to think about giving life out to other people. That is what good fruit is about. It helps others and ultimately it glorifies God. And when God sees that fruit in our lives, we're not cut down, but we're celebrated by him and he continues to nurture us and to grow us even more. So how might we apply these things to our lives today? Well, when it comes to reflection, I think that we need to be careful sometimes not to get distracted by the wrong questions. You know, we can really enjoy talking about the situations of other people as they were doing when they were talking about those whose blood Pilate had mixed with the sacrifices, or the situation at Siloam when the people had suffered from the tower falling on them. We try to deflect the attention away from ourselves by talking about what other people have been up to. But Jesus puts the focus back on us by telling us to reflect. So maybe just have a think this week. If God checked my life every year in 2019, 2020 and 2021, 3 years in a row, would he find fruit? Do I need to ask God for another year and for the gardener's help? The gardener being Jesus and his Holy Spirit within us, who will guide us and empower us to live differently and to bear the fruits of righteousness in our lives. And then I suppose, secondly, we can ask that question, how can I live to benefit others and glorify God by living righteously? Where I live generously, not taking more than what I need, but giving out towards other people and bearing good fruit for Jesus by glorifying him and his love and his kindness. So as we think on those things this morning, let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for this message today from this passage. And I just pray today, Lord, that you would help us to take it in deep into our hearts, that you would help us to reflect, to help us to repent, and help us to live righteously and to bear the fruit of repentance, as John the Baptist talks about. Lord, we need your power to do this. We need your help. And we thank you, Lord, that you're always willing to help us and to empower your children by your Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.